There's an old story, or I guess an old joke, that you've probably heard it before. It's about a man who is trapped on top of a roof, and there's a flood, and the waters keep rising. And so he prays to God, "God, save me from this flood. Save me, Lord." And so a neighbor is paddling by on his canoe, and he paddles by the house, and he sees the man on the top. He's like, "Neighbor, come on down. Come on into my canoe." And the man says to him, no, I'm okay. Thanks very much. I'm praying to God. God is going to save me." And so the water keeps rising on the house, and a rescue team in a motorboat, you know, zips on by. "Sir, get in right now. There's no time. You got to get in here." And the man waves them off. No, I've got this. God's got this. Don't worry about this. We're all okay." Finally, he hears a helicopter from above, and the helicopter, you know, goes right over top of the house, and the rope goes down to the man, and the man looks up at the rope. The man in the helicopter calls down to him, "Sir, grab the rope. It's your last chance. Grab the rope." And he waves him off, and he says, no, I've got this. God's got this. Don't worry about it." And the helicopter leaves. And finally, he's exasperated. The man breaks down. He says, "God, I've been praying. Why haven't you done anything to help me?" And God responds from heaven and says, "I sent you a canoe. I sent you a motorboat. I sent you a helicopter. What more did you want me to do?" Sometimes I think we can be so focused on how we think God's blessings will come, what they're supposed to look like, we can miss them altogether. Sometimes we can be so certain that God's blessing will come a certain way, we miss it because we're so focused on what we think. Maybe we think in terms of wealth or good health or an easy road, that this is truly what blessing is all about. Luke 6 reminds us that God's blessing comes in unexpected ways. Sometimes it's through the struggles and challenges and even loss. As disciples, we are blessed for sure, but God's blessing comes to us in these different ways. Luke's teaching in chapter 6, and it's Jesus' teaching. Jesus is on a level place. He's surrounded by people that are longing for comfort and healing and hope, people like you and me and our loved ones. And he says to them, he declares to the disciples, he turns to the disciples and says, "Blessed are you who are poor, for yours is the kingdom. Blessed are you who are hungry, for you will be filled. Blessed are you when you weep, for you will laugh." Not the blessing that they were expecting. It's a little bit like a child on Christmas morning, and you've waited all evening, and you run to the tree and you want to open that gift, and you open it up and it's socks and underwear. It's like, come on, Fruit of the Loom, are you serious? What a ripoff. Not what you're expecting. Maybe what you need, but maybe not what you want. The disciples like us are used to thinking that those who are truly blessed are people with the status symbols, right? Money and happiness and success. Yet Jesus flips the script. He implies that the poor, the hungry, and the broken are actually the blessed ones. That the kingdom of God belongs to them, right? It seems like he's reading from the wrong playbook. Notice he isn't saying that suffering is good, or that God brings suffering, or that God wants people to struggle or to go through difficulty. Yet Jesus reveals something profound. God sees you when you're suffering. God sees the overlooked as well. God lifts up those who are struggling. The Beatitudes aren't just about us. The Beatitudes are really about who God is, right? They show us who God is and what being blessed eternally is all about. Jesus reminds us that this blessing isn't dependent solely on ourselves. It's dependent not on our own success or our achievements or even our failures or our sins or our shortcomings. Thank God that our failures aren't, you know, it's God's not sitting there waiting. Oh, okay, Sean, I remember when you did that and this and that. You and I can't curry God's favor any more than God loves you right at this moment, no matter where you are in relationship to God. God loves you. You have that. You are on the team. You are a child of God. I hope you understand that we can't curry God's favor. We can't make God love us any more than God already does. I hope you know this deep down in your soul, that you are safe and secure. Jesus does issue warnings. Woe to you who are rich, you've already received your comfort. Woe to you who are full, for you will be hungry. Woe to you who are laughing, for you will mourn and weep. Jesus reminds us that the world's blessings are temporary, but God's blessing lasts forever. Because we do live in a world that measures blessings the way that the crowd did in Jesus' time too. Success, comfort, and power are all marks of the good life. Many books are written about it. Yet in our consumer society, how often do we get the new phone and the next day the S25, I'm like, I got the S24. And then next day the S25 comes out. Mine's already down the road of being obsolete. We watch commercials. Is that Matthew McConaughey one about when he's driving that Lincoln? I want a Lincoln after watching that. But if we buy the right car or have the right clothes or own the right home, happiness comes, right? But how often does happiness truly come from these things? Life doesn't always work out the way that we envision sometimes, right? It isn't always fair. Worldly blessings, they come and go. Health changes, markets shift, financial good times can end, trade wars ensue, governments change, loved ones pass away. We aren't immune from struggles in our lives. For those of us who don't fit in perfectly into this fast-paced world, it can feel like we are on the outside. We can feel isolated. Seniors today feel it. Youth can feel it trying to fit into this world. Young people feel it as they struggle to find their place. It can feel isolating. And even churches, we can fall into the trap of measuring success for how many, forgive my French, but how many butts are in the pew? You know, is that how we measure success fully? Or is it how we serve others, how we love others? You can't measure what you and I do on our own as the body of Christ in this world today. Despite difficulties the disciples had, they followed Jesus, right? They followed him. They left homes and jobs. They trusted God's blessings would lead them forward, even if they couldn't see the full picture of what was going to happen next. Yet they followed by the grace of God. They kept going. They had confidence in God that they were on the team, that they were loved by this Lord, and that God would take care of them. And this is where our blessing comes from. Being rooted in Christ as the source of life, we can have confidence in our life moving forward. And even when we don't feel this confidence, when we are weak, this is when we are strong, right? Because God is strong, the Lord is strong. When we feel overlooked, Jesus sees us and won't let us go. There was an elderly woman in a nursing home, and she was known for her kindness throughout this institution. And one day a young nurse asked her, "How do you remain joyful despite you losing your independence and all the changes that are happening in your life?" She implied, "Because I have never lost my place in God's kingdom." This is the heart of blessing. Not in what we have, but in knowing whom we belong. God richly blesses you. Jesus doesn't just teach about blessing. He actually lives it out. He brings the kingdom of God with him. He heals the sick. He comforts the grieving, lifts up the poor, gives his very life so we would have confidence in our lives. The Beatitudes remind us that our identity is not in who we are, not in what we accomplish, but in who we are as Christians, as disciples. And this identity never fades or diminishes because we have this strong anchor in our lives. No matter our age or our abilities, or we are called and loved by God. When Jesus stood on that level place, he was reminding his disciples that they were different from the world, that they were called to live a way that reflected his kingdom and his grace. This is what being a Christian is all about. Friends, as we encounter the unshakable truth that God is with us, that we are blessed even despite our circumstances, let us have confidence in this blessing through Christ, that we are his and he is ours. Let us let go and let God as we rest in God's grace as blessed individuals. I really enjoyed singing with the choir the other week. That was amazing. I will do that again. It's a great group that meets here on Thursdays, and that's a shameless plug. Yes, it is. But no, it was a lot of fun. The camaraderie with Elizabeth and the team, and they were joking around. I don't know how she reins them in, though. I mean, it must be, like, it's difficult, isn't it? Right? And it was one of the week of the snowstorm, the following week, and rightfully so, there was the snow, and then we had the big one the weekend, but they canceled practice. And a few of us, we showed up anyways. I dropped my kids off at hockey, and I just came. And I'm like, if the light's off, I know it's canceled. But the light was on, so I came in here, and a few of us, one of the persons was on the piano, and they were tinkling away on the piano, and we sang some hymns, and we told some stories, but it was such an unexpected blessing. Unexpected blessing that came when we didn't expect it. And somehow this is how God's blessing comes to us. Often in these unexpected ways that we didn't expect would happen at all. Yet how might we live as a blessing to others? How might we be an unexpected blessing to others as we carry God's easy grace with us? Do you carry God's easy grace with you? And after people are in your presence, they felt built up somehow. God's easy grace is what you carry, because you're on the team. You've made it. You don't have to strive further. Of course, you're going to work hard and do what you can. You're on the team. You can carry that easy grace with you. It's amazing. Who around you is struggling, overlooked, or lonely? Maybe that neighbor who has no family, that young person searching for purpose. Maybe it's someone in this very church who needs encouragement. The kingdom of God moves forward when we notice and care for each other. God's easy grace, it's not manufactured. It's just in authentic ways done through acts of kindness. You know, I've watched you as a church care and reach out in quiet and behind-the-scenes ways. And God's blessings aren't meant to be hoarded, but to shared, and I know you get that. Simply calling someone you haven't seen in a while, offering a listening ear to a hurting person, giving your time and energy to volunteer in little ways for youth or the food bank, making soup or supporting a mission. We each have the power through Christ to be instruments of blessing for others. Easy grace, you know, it's authentic. It's not forced. When we live God's blessing by having a daring confidence in who God is and how God is for us, it changes who we are. It changes other people because of this confidence and trust. It's essential that we rest in this grace so that we can model this for others. God, friends, the world may insist that blessing is only found in youth. It's only found in what you've accomplished. But Jesus tells us the truth, that blessing comes through the kingdom of God. If you feel weak, you are blessed because God's strength is with you. If you feel overlooked, you are blessed. If you feel uncertain about the future, congratulations. The kingdom of God is yours. Let's live as blessed disciples. Let's live as people not who have figured it out, but people who've encountered the grace of God and now live this easy grace, this blessing in our lives, in our workplaces, in our community. Go then, live as if you are blessed to be a blessing to others, and trust always in God's goodness and mercy that shall follow you all the days of your life. Amen.